Listen, the early voting is, we've talked a lot about it on the show. 2 weeks felt like a little bit long for me, but it's been incredibly successful in terms of numbers. The towns still have to pay for it, though, and it's a big burden on the towns. And now the question is, what do we do with all these votes, and how is the state going to handle it? Ken Dixon from CT Insider joining us. Ken, by the way, I mean you've been doing this for years and years, but the stuff you've been writing lately has been really important. You've been crushing it, so we appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks, Brian.
Listen, how many votes are we talking so far? Like, it's a pretty big number.
Well, Stephanie Thomas, the Secretary of the State, the top election official, was talking about 17% in all turnout. It's probably pushing 20 by now because she had an early afternoon news conference yesterday afternoon, and it was like 79,000 ABs and then over 300,000 people showing up at city and town halls.
Wow. One thing I don't know if she covered yesterday, and I want to get to Secretary of the State Thomas in a second, but what do they do? Do we know what they do with them? And like, we have these, we obviously have heard these stories of like ballot boxes getting like blown up and stuff. Like, where do these go? Where are they being held?
Yeah, they're held under lock in city and town halls. They've got lockers for all this. I mean, they're used to storing ABs. I don't think the Senate Democrats were wrong last week in suggesting that it might be a deluge on election day at 6 a.m. when they're allowed to open up these early ballots. But Stephanie Thomas is in closer contact with the local voting officials, and she's confident. But yeah, the money that they're spending, it's going to be interesting in January when the legislature meets and they start talking about how this worked out. But I mean, 300,000 people, that's land of steady habits, people showing that they're ready for early voting. And then the ballot question on so-called no excuse ABs should be interesting too on election day.
Yeah, so just to sort of summarize it, so the Democratic leaders came out last week and said that they thought that we should consider, maybe more staff to help handle this. And Thomas yesterday said, no, we're fine.
Well, she said, let's not try to train people now in something that people have been planning on for a year. It's just going to spoil
That's
the
true.
soup.
I'm interested, listen, the conversations I've had with Secretary of State Thomas have been good, but we can't get her, and she's difficult to get. And we've told there's been some turnover in her office. I mean, do you find her to be accessible when you need stuff?
I mean, she took as many questions as we wanted yesterday in the state office
Okay.
building, and there was TV, there was the online folks, and the pre-anniversary current reporter was there.
All right, so yeah, I mean, I just a bit because I hadn't seen much of her before yesterday, but that's good to know. We're talking with Ken Dixon from CT Insider here, talking about all the ballots in terms of in on election day. Basically, is there like I don't know what time in the morning, but they don't touch them until the
Six
election
in the
morning,
morning,
and then they just
six in
start
the morning
counting.
for the early voting, and then 10 o'clock for the ABs. So presumably, and I covered Bridgeport for 10 years, so I say presumably those ABs should be counted by the time the polls close at 8 o'clock, and then they start adding up the tabulators, and then it's going to be after midnight again in Bridgeport as usual.
Do you think we should extrapolate anything from, the large amount of early voting? I don't know what the numbers will be in the end, but I assumed a lot of, retirees would do it, and after that I wasn't sure, but maybe it means that people, because I'm a little uncomfortable making such an early decision, even though I don't know that anything will happen in a week or two will change it, but maybe it means that Connecticut voters are pretty decisive in who they support.
Yeah, also, and maybe, Brian, you and I see enough crazy stuff going around the country that we want to, like, show up at the machine on election day and right. and stick the ballot in the tabulator ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wanted to vote. It's funny, I wanted to vote early just to test out the process, just to see what it was like. But the more I think about it, if I can vote on election day, I think I just want to do that. So, I mean, go ahead.
It looks like there won't be a crowd either because they will all have voted.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And nationwide, there have been, you know, millions and millions of votes already cast. I did want to, before, you know, I wanted to get into the 5th District a little bit because we've talked a lot about that. And I know you've written about it. You know, the New York Post did a hit piece on Congressman Hayes. It talked about, you know, how she went to the Democratic National Convention instead of, you know, being in Oxford or in the areas that were flooded, and then talked about her trips to Martha's Vineyard. And then it was reported that George Logan did some similar fundraising on Nantucket. That was not in the New York Post piece. My thing is, I think it's fair to criticize the Oxford issue and with her justification about flights and stuff, but the fundraising stuff, even before the Logan stuff came out, the proper context wasn't given in the New York Post piece. I mean, ultimately, what did you find out about, you know, these two junkets, Hayes to the Vineyard and Logan to Nantucket?
Well, you know, we don't have public financing, so you got to go where the money is. I mean, that's why Biden goes to Greenwich. That's why George went to Greenwich. George Logan went to Greenwich. What I learned reporting this was that in the summertime, the traditional Democratic spot is Martha's Vineyard and the Republicans go to Nantucket. It's like, I mean, the well-heeled. and you got to spend money to make money. And a lot of this stuff is, for lack of a better word, laundered through things like Win Red and Act Blue. That gives them some amount of cover on who's contributing.
So it's pretty standard. I mean, I guess ultimately that both are, it's pretty standard procedure.
Yeah, it's the name of the game. I mean, I think the rule is still that if you're in Congress, you have to raise $10,000 a day in addition to your committee work and everything else, and you go across the street from the Capitol to like a call center, and you dial for dollars. It's kind of it's kind of gross, really. But that's how special interests get their way, and that's how Congress is working.
Yeah, which is not particularly well. Where are you going to be on Election Day?
I think I'm going to be at the Hayes party and going to be keeping an eye on General Assembly races.
Yeah. Any particular races that you've been, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot that, you know, I mean, we focused a lot on, you know, the Fazio-Simmons race and, you know, people here and there, but I don't know a ton about the district by district stuff. Is there any particular races you'd want to highlight?
Well, Tony Wong in that Fairfield-centric district, he won by the hair of his chinny-chin-chin a couple of years ago. Got Rob Blanchard, a former Lamont staffer who's the chief of staff for Sean Scanlon, the comptroller. I'm told that Democrats are concentrating up around Avon and Farmington on the Lisa Seminara Senate race. I'm not like totally on the ground with that, but that's what I'm hearing.
Hi, Kent. Listen, we appreciate the time. And again, you go to ctinsider.com to read all of Kent's stuff because that's how we keep employed. Keep clicking on those stories. Kent, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.